Thanks again. All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Matt, if we can get a sound check, greatly appreciate that. All right, everybody, let's go ahead and turn in our red hymn to page 114. Red hymn 114. For those of you guys that are online, we're going to be here singing Tell It to Jesus. Hope you guys can join along. If you have a hymn book, that is not a red hymn, Sister Letty, red, the color red hymn. Page 114. Amen. All right, Tell It to Jesus. We're going to do our best to sing along, and let's go ahead and do this together. Amen. All right, on the one. On the one. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. On the two. Do the tears flow down your cheeks and biting? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Have your sins that no demons had hiding? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. On the third. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious what shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. On the last. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Amen and glory to God. All right, let's go and turn our page to Psalm 50. Hymn 50. There is power in the blood. Amen. And then the last song is going to be 220. We're going to sing this special song to show some love that we're thankful to see brother back here. Amen. Brother Once in a While. There we go. That's his new nickname. There we go. Brother Feel That over there. All right. There's Power in the Blood. If you want to search it online, Power in the Blood Hymn by Lewis E. Jones. On the one. Would you be made from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? This wonderful power in the blood. Now there is power, power, wondering working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wondering working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. On the two. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. This wonderful power in the blood. Now there is power, power, wondering working power in the blood of the Lamb. Now there is power, power, wondering working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. On the third, would you be whiter, much whiter than snow?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood.
Now there is power, power, wonder working power in the blood
of the Lamb.
Now there is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. All right, on the last. Would you do service for Jesus, your King?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Would you live daily His praises to sing?
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood
of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb.
There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. Amen. It's by the blood of Jesus, amen, that we receive forgiveness of sins, cleansing of the conscience. Page 220, last song, He Leadeth Me by William Bradbury. If you want to search it online with us, He Leadeth Me. We're going to sing it here together. On the one. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort wrought. Whate'er I do, where'er I'll be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own, and He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. On the two. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes worried in bowers bloom, by water still, or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. On the third. Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, no ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. On the last. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. All right, glory to God. Let's go ahead and stand up and greet one another in love. Fist bump, elbow bump, hug, whatever you want to do in your conscience, whatever you feel good. Amen. Amen. Sister Brittany makes her way on up here for announcement. Sister Brittany, yeah. Maybe? No? Brother Kwame's not here. We got to have the other half there. Come on, Brother Q, where you at? Amen. We miss you, Brother Kwame. Brother Tess. Amen. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Brother Tess, God bless you. God bless you. All right, church, praise the Lord. We're glad to see everybody back here this afternoon here at Simple Faith Baptist Church in Oceanside, California, Pacific Standard Time. Our location is 1836 Dixie Street, Oceanside, California. We rent from the Friendly Church of God in Christ. You can see our signs out there in the parking lot to direct you to our space. You can click here on our map, directions, email, phone number to get it plugged in. Our regular schedule, friends, is Sunday. Today, we have Sunday school at 1 o'clock to 1:30. We have a 15-minute break in between. Sunday service starts at 1:45. And then Wednesday nights, we do have Bible study Wednesday nights. We're going to click on our calendar tab. I do want to make an apology because last Sunday, we did forget to have the Lord's Supper. So today, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. So just prepare your heart for prayer and repentance in your heart as we read the scriptures later on this afternoon. But we're going to have the Lord's Supper. All right, every Friday night we have the Creation Science Evangelism Seminar that we're currently watching by Dr. Kent Hovind. We're going through the seminar series. Last Friday night was the third video, Part B, Dinosaurs and the Bible. It was very encouraging. Brother Kent has some good teaching. Maybe one of these days I can ask him to do a teaching for our church via live stream, like on a video chat meeting. That'll be a blessing. He's a good brother out there in Alabama. He has his different theologies now as it pertains to the end times of the church. But nevertheless, everything else is solid. I do like it. Very, very great teaching. All right, on our website here about us, our Beliefs Church team, we're going to go ahead and click on this prayer tab because I'm not sure about you, but the Lord tells me to pray for you. He tells you to pray for me, 1 Timothy chapter 2. He wants us to pray for them that are in authority, etc., etc. So, friend, do me a favor. On our website, go ahead and put your name, email, prayer title, details. We want to pray with you as a church. Or if you have some good news you want to share or praise reports, submit it there as well. You can see some past prayers already submitted. But we had our prayer service night last Wednesday. Praise God for that prayer night. It is powerful. It is awesome. It is very, very open and transparent because it's us and God and a church as a family. Very, very good prayers. So I encourage all of our church members to come to prayer service night. Give the Lord 1 hour, no phones, no live stream, just you and God praying with your church for one another's needs. Amen. It was a blessing for those of us that were here last Wednesday. We want to keep those that are not here, those that have come, no longer come, we want to keep them in prayer as well. We're going to go ahead and click on this current and future ministries tab. Every Saturday about 3 p.m., we get together. We go soul winning in downtown at here at Oceanside, California at the pier. We get our scripture signs, amen, and we get our church flyers, and we pass out gospel tracts because the Lord Jesus Christ commands us as Christians to go into the world and preach the gospel concerning Him, not our church, not our culture, not our government, not our politics, Him. Because Jesus said what that man, what that woman, what that child needs, it doesn't matter about their skin color, black, white, green, anything between, is they need to be born again. They need to get a new heart from God, and that can only come by faith in Him. Every Saturday, we try to obey the Lord together as a church corporately at 3 p.m. I want to thank God for my mother. She went out with us for the second time, and ironically, she went out on the craziest day we've ever experienced because we had those silly, ridiculous dang on protesters down there doing their silly business promoting the wisdom of this world, and you had, unfortunately, carnal watered down lukewarm Christians protesting along with them. Nobody else talking about Jesus, nobody talking about heaven, nobody talking about hell, nobody talking about stuff that actually matters, which is their soul going somewhere when they die. They want to try to fix temporal things for the carnality of men, which is the governing of the flesh, because they don't want to talk about the inward things that all men need, which is they need to be saved from their sin. It was only five of us. My mom, myself, Brother Kwame, Brother Manny, Katie, we posted up there on the pier. They were like an army. The police were there. Officer Reyes, praise God for him. He was looking out for us, protecting us. And before you know it, I looked at our brethren and I said, "Church, hold the line. They're coming." We got our signs ready. We were ready for the battle. And here they come with their little drum beats, you know, like the world, little Gentiles get together, ball, pump, 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 and they all shout a mantra together. And as soon as they started coming, boy, we started preaching, for God so loved the world, and this and that and that and this, passing out tracts. I'm telling you, friends, if you saw their faces, you would see shame within their faces, because they know in their conscience, according to Romans 1, that God has given them the understanding that he exists and that what they're doing is wrong, that sin is the ultimate problem, because that's what's going to take them to hell. And when we were preaching out there, you could see the conviction on these Christian faces, and I just felt this power of the Holy Spirit, man, just leading us to quote scriptures out of nowhere. And as soon as I called out these Christians, I checked them out, because you see these, you know, ridiculous modern contemporary Christians with their tattoos, he is greater than I, on those silliness. I said, and you Christians ought to be ashamed of yourselves, because you know what the real problem is. It's sin, and you're not telling anybody here that they're going to go to hell when they die, because you're too worried about this world and its wisdom rather than God and what he wants you to preach. People are going to die. The Bible says you must be born again. My former pastor was out there. He can vouch and testify. Officer Reyes can vouch and testify. My friends can testify. There was one guy that was recording and saying, preach, brother, preach. And all these swarms of folks, I'm serious, just coming right by us. The drummer guy had a knee, man. He ran into me with his drum. I, bam, get that thing off me, man. I had to be real with him over there. I had to debate this one guy that was trying to mess with some of our members. We handled business. But what am I trying to prove? At the end of that little trail, okay, this little caterpillar-like little form of people, there was this little Christian group with their signs. But what were they doing? They were quiet. They didn't say a dang word. They just had their signs, all quiet. And I looked at all, I said, what are you guys doing? You ought to be ashamed of yourselves out here with these signs. You're not saying nothing for the gospel of Christ. Who's telling anybody about Jesus here, something about eternal life? Nobody. And then some said, yeah, praise God, brother. Oh, and they took our flyers. But they were ashamed because they knew what we were telling them was true. The scripture signs, the gospel tracts. You see, we don't need to grow weary in well-doing. The Bible says that the Lord is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? And yeah, some of our hearts were trembling. That's pretty scary, man, because you don't know what man is going to do. I mean, they have free will. We could have been punched, kicked, stabbed. You know, we could have been hurt, because that's what protesters do when they get angry with their cause. But by the grace of God, that Holy Ghost, man, protected us, maybe sent some angels, but nobody laid a hand on us. We got some rude comments by some of these folks. Oh, you're here for the wrong cause, brother. I said, what cause are you out here for, man? Tell me, where am I going to go when I die? What's up with my soul? And we were preaching, remaining faithful, while all these fools are out there doing something for the temporal, because they don't want to take that eternal truth into context, because they don't want to face reality with God. They don't mind arguing with a human being and pointing the finger and say, this is wrong, change this, change that. They don't want to point the finger and say, wow, God, wait a second, I'm wrong before you. You tell me not to fear man, which is able to kill the body, but to fear him who is able to kill both body and soul in hell. I'd rather fear God, amen. So praise God for Officer Reyes. He had her back. This guy wanted to debate with me. He was trying to mess with Kwame. Had to check him on some scripture, and the Lord preserved our witness. We weren't being rude. We weren't being causing a ruckus. We were street preaching, witnessing to the officers. We were witnessing to everybody out there. It was the most powerful time of our life. But man, I'm telling you, that word of God, man, just give us power, even with us, because we're foolish. We're just foolish things in this world. But the Lord uses foolish things to confound the wise. And here's my mom and my wife and brother Manny Kwame. We're not mighty noble. We don't have the signs. We don't have a gathering. But we have a God. And that Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So what they were contesting for the world, for the power that controls that, our God has a greater witness, and it was getting a hold of all their hearts. Praise the Lord Almighty that was taking place. Join us, church. Please, do not be ashamed of the gospel. Preach it with us. Wednesday night Bible study fellowships, future ministry trips to Ensenada on hold. We're going to click on our live stream tab. We have a Facebook church page. You know who you are out there with your Facebooks. Please join it, subscribe to it, share it so people can hear the Bible taught properly. YouTube, we have Periscope and podcasts. Bible study resources and helps. Again, we're not the only Bible-believing Baptists who believe the Bible. We have great links for you to check out here. Chick.com, awesome, amazing materials. our missionary that we support, Brother Blake and his wife, Haley, and other great ministries that we highly recommend for you to check out for great Bible study resources. Last but not least, church, if you're a member of this church, hope you are. If you're watching and listening online, obviously you physically can't congregate because you're watching from around the world. My encouragement to you as a brother is to get plugged into a local Bible-based church near you. Start supporting them with your finances to support the work of the Lord. Here you can give online, you can give in-house between you and God, whatever your purpose, and that's it. Move on with it. Keep obeying the word of God. It's not a big deal. With that said, do me a favor and let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Today we're going to take a break from our Romans study because I just have this desire and this burning to preach today's message. I'm not claiming anything spiritual, but I am claiming the Bible. I'm going to just teach what it has. I think it's sufficient. Any time of the day, however you feel, the Word of God is relevant. And today's message is titled the following: The Preaching of the Cross versus the Preaching of This World. The Preaching of the Cross versus the Preaching of This World. But on our online, the video says Preaching versus Protest. Today's message will be a lesson on the Christian's command to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, I'm commanded of God, and so are you commanded to remind you constantly of His Word. You can read that in Titus 3. In hopes that you and I will stay focused and remain vigilant, spiritually aware of the constant spiritual war going on between God's spirit and the Antichrist's false spirit of this world, between good and evil, between holiness and wickedness, ultimately between light and darkness. And you know what's amazing, church? The central location and place where the individual battle is either won or defeated is the heart of man. If you would look with me in Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to go down here to verse number 23. Look at what that Bible says. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, God, for them that came here faithfully to church. We pray for them that are watching online, Lord, that they'll get plugged in soon, either with us or some other Bible-believing church near them. My God, I just ask that your Holy Ghost today would give us ears to hear and eyes to see wonderful things from thy holy word, the Bible. Help us to exalt it as authoritative over our life, although some of us verbally proclaim it, some of us intellectually believe it, but some of us don't really, really obey it 100%, even when it goes against family, flesh, culture. Lord, would you stir our hearts today to see the example by Paul the Apostle as we're going to study, and other Christians that proclaimed your word aside from everything going on in their culture relevant at the time. We ask and pray that you'd give us wisdom on how to move forward in our city of Oceanside as we pray for the salvation of the lost here in our city. We pray for them that are in governing authorities that you protect them. We thank you for placing them there, Lord, to be a blessing to them that do good, but to handle business, to bring judgment on them that do evil. Lord, help us to honor the laws of our land so much as they honor you, and where they dishonor your word for telling us not to gather or to do anything against you, Lord, give us the boldness to stand firm, to obey God rather than man. We give you the glory now and this time in Jesus' name. What do we say, church? Once again, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, church, this is the battleground for every individual, like I stated earlier. It's the heart of man. When you ponder upon choices to make, information comes into your life, be it through your eyes or ears. Ultimately, it's your heart that's going to make the decision. God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, God who declared and decreed to make mankind after his image and likeness, has the true and ultimate understanding concerning the condition of man's heart. Your heart, my heart, the heart of the born-again Christian, the heart of the unbeliever. It's our heart that will either desire to obey God's command, as we can see here found in Acts chapter number 20, verse 21. You don't have to go there. You can look up to the screen quickly. I'm going to go through these verses quickly. Acts 20 and verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's this message which Paul the Apostle carried throughout the world of his time. and the apostles, when they would interact with Jew or Gentile, that word of God is being presented to them and their conscience, and the recipient has a choice to make with their heart. And what was the heart commanded to do? To repent. That is, to have a change of mind, a change of course, maybe belief system, whatever the case may be, and to put faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, church, for those of us that are in-house or either online, my question to you is, what is your priority message you are desiring to get across to your family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, country, government? What would you have someone to know about the truth you claim to believe in and possess? Let us read the Bible, and hopefully we can, in some way, shape, or form, find something to just give us an answer and guide us in our decision-making. And I'm hoping today that you believe the Word of God to be your authority today, and not your culture, not your social media platforms, not your favorite news channels or radio podcast stations. But hopefully, just maybe, you are still being an obedient follower of Jesus Christ by being obedient to His Word. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to go down here to verse number 18, and praise God, I was asking God to remind me of the verse that He put in my heart when I was street preaching out there. Man, I don't know how this verse came into my mind. This is not one of those verses that was, you know, pre-studied and pre-thought about, premeditated, because, you know, generally we try to get some verses to think about when you're sharing. I thank God that Holy Spirit put this verse in my heart when I was preaching to the crowd, and this is the verse at which it was, and I thank the Lord for reminding me. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Word of God states, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish," say with me, church, "foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now, what makes this preaching so powerful, you might ask? What makes the preaching of the cross so convicting and maybe at times divisive? You know, it hurts people's feelings. The answer lies within the text. Look at what the Bible says in verse 18, the second half. "Unto us which are saved, it," referring to the preaching of the cross, "is the power of God." You see, the preaching of the cross contains within it the information being declared from or by the mouth of the street preacher, like us out there, the pastor teacher behind the pulpits, the missionaries in the fields, the Christian verbally declaring or conversing with, you know, another human in the workplace, family circle, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, what He accomplished on the cross. And when they believe and are willing to repent of their sin, like we read in Acts 20:21, or unbelief, whatever is contrary to the preaching of the cross, be it faith in other gods, their atheistic proclamation because of science, falsely so-called, maybe faith in their culture, whatever it is that is contrary to that preaching, and they're willing to respond in obedience to what the cross is expecting of them through the preaching, that Bible says that it is by that power that's within it that is able to heal, forgive, and set free the person that believes. You see, this preaching the cross of Christ delivers us. This preaching and the power of Christ empowers us. And most of all, this preaching of the cross is able to save the soul of any sinner. It's able to renew the heart of the mind of any man, woman, child who's willing to believe it. You see, this wisdom of the world, it also preaches something as well. It presents information through its news channels, radio broadcasts, and people on the streets. It proclaims something of this wisdom. Just like yesterday, we observed these ridiculous, reprobate, foolish protesters and rioters around the earth proclaiming something for change, you know, because there's something wrong with man and they're trying to voice its solution. But you know the difference between their protesting and our preaching? Our preaching is able to help save the soul. Their preaching has no power to do that. The power to save the soul, their preaching does not have the power to keep any soul from going to hell. Their preaching or their protesting does not possess the power of peace, although they falsely assume it does. For there is only one who possesses perfect peace. There is only one who possesses perfect love, and that's God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus' message, his truth, his life, is what the New Testament apostles and writers proclaimed in their travels, and it's also what they proclaimed in their writings. It was to make known unto men. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 17. This is what Paul the Apostle desired for men, women, children of all ages to know, and what was expected of them by their Creator. This is the priority of which we also ought likewise to follow. In Acts chapter 17, we're going to go down here to verse number 30 and 31. The Word of God states here, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now, listen up now, commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Notice how God doesn't distinguish between skin color. He says all men. Verse 31, why? Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. You see, Paul was preaching to the Greeks, and he said in one verse earlier, he commands all men everywhere to repent. What is this preaching of the cross, church? Let me remind you. Have you not read so far with us and have learned with us thus far in our own personal gatherings at church? This preaching of the cross consists none other than what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of himself prior to his ascension. Turn with me into another portion of the Word of God here to Luke chapter 24. Luke, the 24th chapter, so you can see it's not just what the apostles wrote, it's not just what Paul and Peter preached, this is exactly what Jesus Christ, the God-man himself, the Savior of the world, commanded us to do. Luke chapter 24, we're going to start in verse 46. Prior to his ascension, this is what Luke records of the Lord's words. Verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance, did you see that, church? And remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Did you notice what the Lord said, church? Repentance. He did not say social justice. He did not say government policies to be or not to be advocated for. He did not say political campaigns. He did not say ethnic cultures and to be remembered or honored along with this truth. Jesus, who was God manifest in the flesh, commanded his immediate disciples, apostles, and all who would believe in him through their preaching, repentance. And that the remission of sins should be preached in his name. Not in the name of anyone else or anything else. And this preaching is to be preached in how many nations? All nations. Do you see that? You see, Christian, for those in house and those online, your Savior told you a long time ago, prior to any social media, prior to any new TV outlets, etc., the most important message he expects his church to get across the world is the message of the cross. And their inner response to that will either grant them eternal life, forgiveness of sins before God the Father, or the rejection of it, eternal damnation, eternal punishment for their sin and rejection of the Son of God. Jesus, I'll give you another example, taught a man by the name of Nicodemus this truth concerning the condition of mankind. Turn with me to John chapter number 3. John, the third chapter. Again, we're just reading the Bible. I know many of you are like, wow, that's what it actually says. I know. Some churches don't even read it anymore. This is so sad. We live in a reprobate Laodicean age now. Look at what your Savior taught a man in Luke, in John chapter 3, to a man named Nicodemus. In verse 16, we all know the famous verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know what's going to happen to people that don't believe in his name? They will perish. They will not have everlasting life. What happens to them if they believe? They won't perish. They will have everlasting life. Keep going. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Because the world needs to be saved from condemnation. Do you understand? Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's what your Savior said. That's what Jesus said. The Jesus of the Bible is that, sinner, you are condemned because of your unbelief. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Church, this condemnation against man from God, the God of the Bible, it's merited because of their failure to respond to the light and the truth given them in their conscience concerning God's existence and his judgment against evil, that is, their sin. You see, there's light and there's darkness, the Lord said. This is the battle right now taking place in the heart of all men on the face of this earth, regardless of the color of their skin. For as Brother Kwame stated, it's not a skin problem, but a sin problem. You see, the Lord said men would love darkness more than the light. Wow. How sad. Why? Because in darkness, there is no objective moral standards by which man is held accountable. In darkness, every man does that which is right in his or her own eyes. In darkness, church, Christians today, you and I all were once a part of. But the difference between us now and then before is we responded to the preaching of the cross that told us that's why you need to be saved. Jesus came to die for your sins on that cross. Yes, there's a condemnation against you, fool. You better get right. You better repent. Ask him to save you or he's going to send you to hell. You've offended a holy God. His love is only going to last until your last breath. Don't reject the gift of God. You see, we were once in darkness, but something changed in our hearts. Why? Because you were willing to admit the problem was you and not God. It was not the world or the government or your former husband or former wife, former children, former whatever the case. It was nothing around you in the environment, as sociologists and psychologists want to blame. You said, Lord, whatever this Christian friend is sharing, I believe it. I know I'm the problem. When confronted by the laws of God, I know I've committed adultery in my heart when I've lusted. I know that I've lied and I've become a liar in your sight. I know that I've stolen once. I've known that I've hated somebody once. I've known, God, that when you looked at my heart, I'm guilty. But if what he's saying is true, that Jesus did that for me on the cross, Lord, would you save me, a sinner? God would save you, friend. Not only will he save you, but he'll send you the Holy Ghost. And you know what the Holy Ghost will do? He'll renew your heart. And where darkness once was, light will come in, and the light of God will begin to do the change in your heart, where all that worldly habit will begin to go away little by little. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 4 and 5. Ephesians chapter number 4 and 5. You see, friend, it's not a skin color problem. It is a sin problem. Ephesians chapter 5, let's read verses 1 through 12. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 12. Writing to Christians, Paul the Apostle says here, by inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Does God tell you to be a follower of your political campaign? No. Does he say to be a follower of your social media platform invitation from Facebook? No. You know what the Holy Bible says? You need to follow God. You say, well, what did God do? What does the Bible say he did? What does the Bible tell you what he wants you to go into the world and do for him? Verse 2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet savior. Verse 3, but fornication, sex out of marriage, sex amongst other partners that are married, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Why would the Holy Ghost right there in Ephesians 5 tell you, oh, Christian, yeah, you need to follow God. Why? Because before, what were you following? What were you doing with your life because of your heart that was in darkness? Man, you were a fornicator. Man, you were just an unclean person doing drugs and doing all this crazy stuff under the sun. But hey, you're saved now. Yep, you're a child of God. You need to follow that. Don't do that anymore. Verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, the Bible says, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, the Christian, you ought to know. If you don't, now you're going to learn it. Look at what the Bible says, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's pretty heavy, Christian. That's pretty heavy scripture to weigh the balance in the scales of your heart of you campaigning for something that has nothing to do with Jesus. You have nothing to do with God and the gospel telling people about Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words. You know what happens with those news outlets that get a hold of these Christians? They are deceived by vain words. Bible-believing preachers like me, we're trying to help you, fool, to get out of that rut, to get back into sound words. Because of these things, what things? What you just read earlier, fornication, adultery, uncleanness. Cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Wow. Maybe Jesus was right, church. Maybe there is a condemnation against them that believe not. Maybe Paul the Apostle was right. They need to repent and trust in Jesus because God has ordained the day in which Christ is going to judge them. The Holy Ghost says that these unbelievers are children of disobedience. Friend, before you became a Christian, you know what that Bible said about you here in Ephesians 5? You were once a child of disobedience. Verse 7, to the Christian, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Ooh, you like that, church? Come on. With who? The children of disobedience. Here's a Christian. He's no longer under the power of darkness, but in the light. Here's the unbeliever. They come together and they march for a cause. They protest. They try to do something for the world in positivity and unity. You know what the Holy Ghost said? Don't be a partaker with them. You're not telling them about Jesus because you're ashamed, you're foolish, you don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, fool. You better watch it. They have wrath on them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, the Bible says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness, and look at the last part, truth. You say, but Brother Carlos, it's a good cause. You know, we're going to protest for human rights. But is it truth? No. But Brother Carlos, it seems like a righteous thing. You know, everybody's coming together in positivity, and we're all going to put our cultural side differences aside, but when you tell that homosexual that you're marching alongside that they need to repent or they're going to go to hell, you're not going to tell them the truth. When you say the white power, the black power, the brown power, the green power, you're not going to tell them that what they're doing is wrong in God's eyes. Why? Because you're ashamed. That's why we as Christians prove all things. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Is that protest acceptable to God? Is that what God said he wants me to do with my time, my efforts, and my finances? Absolutely not. Look at what the Holy Ghost tells you, Christian. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Oh, Brother Carlos, that doesn't sound so positive. We need to unite our country in this time. You know what I'm going to do, friend? I'm going to preach what the truth is. That word of God is either going to unite them with their Creator, or it's going to divide them with their Creator. Why? I could care less about the temporal, carnal ordinances of government and policy. That black man, that white man, that purple man, that green man, the alien, they're going to go to hell if they die in their sins Because the problem is not a skin problem, it is a sin problem. My God says, don't get involved with that unfruitful work. Because it's all led by the power of darkness. You know what he says? Reprove them. So when that crowd was coming to us, boy, I started preaching, rebuking these Christians that were involved with this silly stuff. And they were quiet. They were ashamed. They had nothing to say. And when I looked them in their eyes, I said, what are you doing with these foolish people? The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them which perish. All these people are going to perish. And you have the truth and you're not going to tell them. That's what I said. The Lord knows what I said. Go back one chapter, Ephesians 4. Hope you still love the Bible, church. I know. Hope you agree with God and disagree with men and the agendas of isms of men. Ephesians 4, look at what the Bible says here, friend, in verse number 17. Just one chapter to the left. Holy Ghost says, I hope he's still in charge of our church. Amen. Hope he is. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. Notice that. We're not testifying for any social movement of the world. Paul says he's testifying in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye, believer, right? Saved, born again Christian, have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Where's the truth, church? It's not in your social media platform. It's not in your favorite radio, television, podcast, whatever station you want to call. It's not in a political campaign. It's not in any kind of social organization movement on this planet. It's in Jesus. But they don't want Jesus because they are in darkness and their deeds are evil deep down inside. And when that light of the gospel comes, they are against it. You know what my Bible says? Don't act like them. Don't walk like them. As a matter of fact, son, you better reprove that. Let them know what I say. Yes, Lord, I'm going to let them know. I'm scared, Lord. I'm shy, Lord. My feelings are going up and down, Lord. You know, they may kill me, Lord. Lord says, that's my truth. That's what I want you to do. I'm with you. You see, when the power or the influence over the heart of the non-born-again Christian, those who reject and do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is because of the heart of man. And before we close, church, to partake of the Lord's Supper, let me just remind you of the battle and the warfare that you are in every single second of the day you live until you go home to be with the Lord. Three places. The next one, we're still in Ephesians, just go to chapter 6. The other two will be in Colossians 1 and Acts 26. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, since we're still in the same book. Just turn your pages, a couple pages to the right. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 12. I want to teach you now from the Word of God what are the true influences of this world and the worldly wisdom that they're trying to promote and protest for. Who is it being influenced by and what is it being governed by? And I'm going to prove to you today before you leave that it is not from God. It is from the rulers of the darkness of this world. Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. Again, writing to the Christians, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Do you see that, Christian? If you're a sincere Christian, you're not going to be murdering other people, right? You're not going to be fighting against other people. You're not going to be against other humans because you wrestle not against flesh and blood. That ye may, what does it say? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and high places. Church, you know who you ought to be against? An invisible enemy. That Bible says that these invisible enemies are real, but they're not on this planet. They're in high places. But what they do in high places influences what happens down here on this planet. You see, the Bible states there in verse 12, there are the rulers of the darkness of this world. There are these entities, these powers and these principalities that are ruling the governing nations of this earth. They are influencing the movements of mankind on this earth. And you and I were a part of that. But you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You heard the preaching of the cross, and something in your heart compelled you, and you said, Lord, would you save me? And immediately, the God of this Bible, that Holy Spirit, went inside that heart of yours, set you free from that rule and power, and now you know the truth. You've been set free. Now you're in light. You're not in darkness, and now you know the truth. So far, we see from the Word of God, we have spiritual wickedness, but they are identified as principalities and powers and rulers, and they are ruling over the darkness of this world. Turn with me to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1, two books to the right-hand side of your Bible. God is still good, amen. Hope you still love that Bible. I know that truth, man. It penetrates your heart. It's all right. Colossians chapter 1. Look at what that Bible says here in verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. There is a power of darkness, and it is currently right now ruling and reigning in the hearts of every single human being on this planet that is not born again and saved. And that darkness, it's what's blinding them from the truth which is in Christ that can truly set them free. And even though the rulers of the darkness of this world establish laws, ordinances, civil rights acts to be written and passed by laws and legislation, that Bible says, they're still in darkness. That's what it says. The vanity of their mind. They still operate off the lusts of their heart because the heart is still under the power of this darkness. But thanks be to God the Father. That Bible says after you heard the gospel, you know what the Father did? He delivered you from that power. And he took you from that power of darkness and he translated it into the kingdom of his dear Son. What does that Bible say? That you are no longer children of darkness, you are children of light. And in the kingdom of his Son Jesus, of which you are a part of, man, we are free. There's holiness, there's righteousness, there's peace, there's love. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, the Bible says, right? What is the summation of God's law? To love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. If people were children of the light and not of darkness, they wouldn't be killing themselves. They wouldn't need laws to govern them about stealing and putting up bars to protect their and wood to protect their buildings from being destroyed because they would be a child of light. But because you have these children of darkness running amok us, it is because they are under the control and power of the rulers of darkness of this world. The third of the verses that I told you about, let's go to Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter number 26. We're talking about light. We're talking about darkness. We're seeing how the Holy Ghost commands Christians of what they ought to be doing with their time and not to get involved with this foolishness of this world because the wisdom of this world is not profitable to the souls of men. Temporary to the flesh, but not for the soul. Here's what Paul was commanded to go forth and to preach and teach by the Lord himself when he saved them on that Damascus road in Acts chapter 9. This is the dispensation that God gave to Paul, that responsibility to preach. In verse number 16, the Lord is telling Paul, and Paul is just rehearsing the matter before the council. He says in verse 16, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister," there it is, "and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." Are you ready now, church? Watch this. Verse 17. "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes." Why? Because they're closed. You get me so far, church? "And to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of," what does it say, church? "Satan." Oh, There it is. Now you know, church, unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You know why the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish? Because like Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, when that light comes into their world of darkness, when the light of the gospel of God is proclaimed and preached by a Christian, and it begins to penetrate the sinner's heart and tell them why they're wrong, and it reads everything in their conscience, they don't want to respond to the light because they enjoy being in darkness. But now God told you who is the overarching enemy and the one that's ruling over the hearts of the children of wrath and disobedience, none other than Satan himself. So yesterday, here comes the crowd. My church lines up. Hold it down. Hold the line, church. They're coming. And all you see is this flood of people coming. And I love every single one of them because I'm telling them the truth. But as I began to see all these unbelievers here that I know are not saved, some of them are Christians. I'm trying to, oh, he's greater than I, all these little stupid tattoos. I started rebuking and ripping into my brother. And I said, what are you foolish Christians doing with these people? You need to tell them that they're under the power of Satan and darkness. And if they would repent and trust Jesus, this is what will change their hearts. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is what's going to deliver them from that foolishness. Did anybody stop to say, Brother Carlos, you're right. Let me preach with it. No. Any of them Christians say, wow, we should put this sign down and maybe talk about the God that we go and believe and worship in our mega church. None of them did that. They all kept going foolishly with the unbelievers. Why? Because now their light became a little less light, actually conformed to the world. It actually conformed to darkness. And now their understanding is being little by little degrading back to worldly wisdom. These Christians out there, they are clearly rebelling against God's word in Ephesians 5 and 4. And because of that, God is grieved. He's given them over to the desires of heart. They want to be foolish again. They want to act like this fool. Okay, I'm going to give it to you. You want to think that that's important? Okay, go ahead. But I'm going to put that preacher, I'm going to put my child or my son, my daughter out there that remember my words. Wait a second. There's a spiritual warfare. Wait a second. Darkness and light. Wait a second. Satan and God. Wait a second. Power to deliver them. They don't need to do any of this if they would just repent and ask Jesus to save them. My question is, where are all my Christian brethren in the city of Oceanside, California? Why aren't they out here with us preaching the gospel to a lost and condemned world? My next question is, why are these megachurch celebrity false pastors and teachers with their messed up doctrines and theologies entangling themselves with the affairs of this life by conforming to the wisdom of this world, by involving themselves with this protesting and agendas and all these marches rather than preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified for their sin? Hey, local city of mine, country, nation, the problem is your politics, your ideology, your problem is sin in your heart and your influence and control by Satan, the god of this world, as we just saw. And he's keeping you blinded from the truth that can only come by Jesus Christ. Brother Kwame reminded us yesterday of the Bible verse found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to pull it up for you quickly before we come to an end. 2 Timothy 2. And I really enjoyed this verse, Brother Kwame. He was preaching it and sharing it with this Brother History lesson over there yesterday. I had a debate this guy. And this is what the Lord says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 2. And we're going to read here in verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Look at what the Holy Ghost writes to believers again. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Are you ready, church? You're Christian? Those of you guys watching online, you say you're saved? Watch this. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. John, Brother John, has been out in war. Okay, many of us have served in various battles, military ranks. They had a clear mission from their commander or whoever was over them. If they got distracted because they wanted to go mess with a girl or get high over here, they are not useful for the mission to complete. You understand what we're saying? The Lord, as soon as you got saved, you know what he did? He gave you an order. You've been signed up for the military here of Jesus Christ, the commander-in-chief, and he says, son, I need you to go out there and battle now. There's your enemy. This is his plan and scheme. This is how we're going to win. You know what that Holy Ghost says? If you entangle yourself with the affairs of this life, you are not going to please your Lord and Savior. Point blank. You get too distracted watching your news, radio, television program, podcasts, novellas, soap operas. You get too distracted with this life. You know what that word of God says? You're not going to please him. You are straight up useless in this warfare between light and darkness. Those of us in house and online, you say you're a follower of God. You say you believe in Jesus. You're a Bible believer. My question is, whose side of the battle are you fighting on? The world and its wisdom protesting, or on God's preaching the cross? Last verse, and we'll close, church. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Last portion, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Before we left, there was a man that was debating with one of the members of our church. And I was overhearing what he was saying. I stepped in between this man and the brother Kwame, and I had to take that attacker verbally. He was saying some silly stuff and claiming to be a Christian and theology and all the silliness. And there was the officer Reyes who saw the whole thing. You can ask him. And we start debating and discussing, and this fool was talking about black history and black pride and, you know, our people, brother, they were, you know, all this 400 plus years silliness. And then he wants to bring the God thing in, and I'm a Christian, I'm on your side, but what are you guys doing? No, this is, you know, tone deaf. And then this man had the nerve to tell me, because I was rebuking him with scripture, he didn't quote me one verse. Oh man, you're just tone deaf. You know what? You have your knee on my neck. You just have your knee on my neck. And I'm like, dude, you are so stupid, man. What is your problem out here claiming to be a believer? Look at what we're doing, bro. I told him, we're preaching Jesus. What are you doing out here wasting your time going with the affairs of this life, entangling yourself, getting caught up with all this stupid agenda? We are preaching Christ. What are you preaching, man? He couldn't answer me. He said he was marching for the cause, preaching for the cause. Oh, I'm over here telling the truth. No, you're not, fool. I just had to silence. I had to rebuke him. And I said, bro, you see what I'm doing? I got to protect my members. You see, this is my flock. If you're in warfare, again, Brother John can testify, when you're a part of a little military group, I'm pretty sure that the military members, they have a leader over them that has to kind of oversee the group, right? If they are told, okay, fellas, we want you to march through the bushes over there and go scope it out. Thank you, brother. I'm going to charge John to oversee the platoon. What do we call that? A platoon leader, or I don't know how, what's the squadron leader. Okay, gentlemen, I'm going to go out there, but before you do, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to make sure everything's solid because I'm going to take care of your lives. You understand this? When I'm out there and these members of mine are out there, it's my duty and responsibility to protect them from these wolves in sheep's clothing. So I told them, bro, what is your agenda? What are you here to do? Right now, you're arguing with me and discussing with me about the worldly affairs and the wisdom of this world and all this history stuff. You are not helping anybody from going to heaven because you're not talking about Jesus, who's the solution. You understand? Last verse, and we'll close. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 and 2. Look what the Bible says. Paul saying, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you. Are you ready now, church? What does it say? Save Jesus Christ and him crucified. How about that? Paul said when he went to Corinth, he didn't want any of these Corinthians to know anything other than the truth, which was Jesus Christ and him crucified for your sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. Friend, repent of your belief in these idols. Repent in your trust of your gods and all these things. Ask God to save you. Jesus is the Savior because he appointed a day when he's going to judge the world in righteousness. That's what Paul wanted the people to know. You know what I want the people to know from our church? Jesus Christ and him crucified for their sins, because that's the power of God that is able to save their soul. You understand, church? So we're going to close in prayer and we're going to have the Lord's Supper. We've received the elements. I want to thank you for tuning in online. We're going to close out now because we're going to have the Lord's Supper. But the Lord bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We hope to see you guys next Wednesday.